The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Hello, 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 each and every one. Amen, amen. Good morning to you and to everyone, and welcome back to the First Baptist Church West College Hill online service. Amen. I am Charles King, Jr., and I am blessed to be the pastor of this house and the under-shepherd of this wonderful flock. On behalf of my wife, Angela King, our associate ministers, our deacons, our trustees, and our entire church family, we greet you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalm 118:24, the New King James Version says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Come on, somebody. I need some rejoices in the house. I know you are quarantined in the house, and you might not be happy about it, but the scripture says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will." That indicates someone's intention to do something. So, since this is the day that the Lord has made, I'm not just going to be mad about being quarantined in the house, but I'm intending to do something. Yes, you got it. I'm intending to rejoice. In other words, you see, though happiness is not guaranteed or given when we follow Jesus, joy of the Lord is ours. Joy is not an emotion, however. Come on, somebody, did you see what I said? Joy is not an emotion, but joy is a state of being, and it's also a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, I'm going to do my joy all over again. Amen. But wait a minute. That's not all. The scripture says we will rejoice, which means it's not just me rejoicing. It's not just you rejoicing, but we're in this together. We are rejoicing together. So let me ask, are there any rejoicers out there with me? Come on, somebody. But wait a minute, wait a minute, that's not all. The scripture says, I'm going to get to the text, but we got to get our spirits right. Come on, somebody. The scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I may not, you may not, we may not be glad about not being able to gather together right here in the church house physically, but I am glad to be able to serve you. I am glad to be of service. And I am glad to be able to connect with you even like this online. So just for a little while, I'm going to ask the musicians to help me. Somebody put your hands. I don't care if you're in your kitchen, your bedroom, your dining room, wherever it is. Somebody praise God right now. I understand, however, This is not just about your emotions. Amen. So let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you feeling? Because for us here at the church, for here at First Baptist, this is our third Sunday that we have not been able to gather together as a church family with our friends, with our neighbors, with our loved ones, with our community, which I'm going to be honest with you. We actually, with our leadership, it was a unanimous decision along with myself for us not to gather in the house. Now, we understand that there's a loophole of separation of church and state, and we very well, just like some churches, have opted to do it, and they have a right to do so. Come on, somebody. But what we decided was that because of the our population, some of our senior citizens, maybe some of those who are susceptible right now, we just made a decision, a conscientious decision, a prayerful decision, that we would not gather together in stipulations and in accordance with the guidance given by the CDC for there not to be a gathering of more than 10 individuals. We also understand that per our governor, there's a state order that he said there's a stay-at-home order. Amen. And so we recognize that even though there may be some of us who are relatively healthy, there's a term out there called asymptomatic. And so we don't want to be carriers of the virus and actually be able to give it to somebody else just because, let's just be honest, if we were here and we said church is open, you all would be here. Amen. And so that's the reason why we're not here today. But for some of us, this may very well be the first time in our adult lives that we have gone 3 weeks now, 3 weeks in a row. Now it's actually going to be more since they've extended it through the end of April without worshiping together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. For many of us, for many of you, the church is a huge piece of our lives. People of the church, the body of Christ, that's our family. Many of our closest relationships are with the members of the church. Come on now. Some of our fondest memories took place, and they take place right among the people within the church. For those of us who are married, we were married in the church. Amen. For those of us who are baptized believers, that's right, we were baptized in the church. You have prayed hundreds, if not thousands, of prayers collectively. You have shared communion with your family, your church family, and how many sermons have there been? How much laughter? How many tears? And so, yes, it is strange to be worshiping online rather than in the sanctuary, especially on Palm Sunday. That's why I asked, how are you doing? How are you feeling? You've been isolated for weeks now. Some of you live alone. Let me just be honest. This social distancing stuff is getting old. Amen. I'm tired of it already. Amen. But I also recognize that it's also lonely. And we weren't created to be alone. And it's Palm Sunday, and we aren't together? Come on now. So let me just say to you, it's all right to be sad. It's all right to be a bit sorrowful. It's normal to be rocked by a bit of grief. And you know, I think that some of those same feelings that you're feeling, sorrowful, maybe even angry, Jesus was dealing with on that very first Palm Sunday some 2,000 years ago. So let's get to the message. Take a moment, if you would, please, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, whether it be on your phones, on your apparatus, whatever the case may be, turn to Matthew chapter 21. I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Actually, I'm only going to read a few selected verses, but the message is going to come from verses 1 through 11. Matthew 21, This morning, I'm actually going to be reading from the English Standard Version. I believe last week when we were together, I read from the Amplified Version. Matthew 21, the English Standard Version. I'm actually going to start at verse 4. It says that this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Drop down to verse 8. It says that most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went before them and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10 says, "And when he entered Jerusalem," watch this, "the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this?" The crowd said in verse 11, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." On today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject on this Palm Sunday 2020, the triumphal entry, the triumphal entry. Before I get into the message, I want you to all together say this prayer with me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me. That is for me. In Jesus' name. And all together we say, amen. The triumphal entry. The triumphal entry refers to the religious day known as Palm Sunday that occurred 1 week prior to the resurrection of Jesus and the Sunday prior to that Friday crucifixion. The story is shared in all four Gospels, shared in the Gospel that we read, Matthew 21, 1 through 11, Mark chapter 11, 1 through 11, Luke chapter 19, 28 through 40, in John chapter 12, 12 through 19, as one of the key events of Jesus' early ministry. You know the story. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a young donkey or a colt that had never been ridden before, and he rode it alongside another donkey. The disciples placed their cloaks on the colt for Jesus to ride, and this is what is described as fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Many of the people of Jerusalem who saw Jesus arrived, they acknowledged or treated him as royalty. As a matter of fact, here in our text in Matthew 21, verse 8 says, "Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road." Why did they do it? Well, this act of placing the cloaks or palm branches on the road was actually an act generally used for a king or an important ruler. Verse 9 then goes on to say, "The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus' arrival during this time of Passover week led to much attention in the city. Verses 10 and 11 of our text says, "And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this?" The crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." my brothers and my sisters, Jesus' disciples did not understand the significance of the triumphal entry at the time. For over in the text is told in John chapter 12, verse 16, he reveals, it says, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified teaching this house, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Also need to recognize that the Pharisees were there, and they were jealous the attention Jesus was receiving. Again, over in the account of John chapter 12, 17 through 19, it notes that the crowd had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard what he had done, this sign. And so the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. My brothers and my sisters, there are many reasons the triumphal entry of Jesus was important. One of many reasons is simply this. The triumphal entry of Jesus was important because it served as a fulfillment of prophecy, recognition of his role, and it prepared the way for the events that led to his death, his burial, and his eventual resurrection. The other thing about the triumphal entry is that it reminds us of the importance of recognizing Jesus as the king he is, not necessarily as the king we desire. The people who shouted, Hosanna, later shouted, crucify. They desired deliverance from Roman rule, but Jesus came to deliver us on a much deeper level. He came to deliver us from the power of sin. My brothers and my sisters, the triumphal entry is something that Christians continue to celebrate and commemorate even today in 2020. Truly, Jesus is our deliverer. He's our king, and he is worthy of our praise and adoration. And so you think about this. What we're used to and what we've known before now when we celebrate Palm Sunday, or maybe some happy children, or maybe even ourselves, processing down the aisle to the altar, waving palm branches. We have prepared songs for the service as part of the praise and the worship. It's a great celebration of our King. But now we're quarantined to our homes, unable to be in the church and to celebrate like we've always known. And for some of you, that may be dampening your spirit to worship and give God some praise. And I'll be honest, as I prepared this message leading up to today, I could not help but think and wonder in my spirit if somehow, maybe, we've been missing the message of Palm Sunday before the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. Somebody saying, what do you mean? What are you saying, Pastor King? Here's what I mean. I'm saying that we should remember that between Palm Sunday and Easter is the cross. Amen. And between the ascension of Jesus and his return to the very troubled world that we live in is the cross. Amen. For those of us who remain faithful to Jesus and believe on him, the day in which we can truly cry, Hosanna, will come, but it has not come yet, not fully, until he returns. For my brothers and my sisters, our own cross lies before us, the very one that Jesus says that we must bear and carry. The world will reject even us as it did Jesus. The world will misunderstand our mission as much as it did and it still does our Lord's. Again, someone may be listening to me for the first time or even not. You may be wondering, well, what are you saying, Pastor King? I mean, I need to understand. I need you to connect with me. What I'm saying is that the world only sees power. They cannot accept humility and weakness. You see, they're looking for Barabbas to save them, not Jesus. Mm-mm. The theology of the glory will come, but now it's the theology of the cross. My brothers and my sisters, we proclaim Christ not with pompous ceremony, but with humble service. We point not to ourselves, but we point to our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we don't come to overthrow the wicked, but we come to proclaim a Savior who wills that every person who believes on him might be saved. For the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, we walk in his footprints with our crosses at tow and not palm branches. Yes, the time will come for the palms, but not quite just yet, because Jesus had palm branches waved at him on that Palm Sunday, but by Friday, they were beating him with the palms of their hands, and they hung him on an old rugged cross where he suffered, bled, and died. Of course, we know that's not how the story ends, because 3 days later, he rose again. So I need to encourage somebody, my brothers and my sisters, Resurrection Sunday is coming. As a matter of fact, the first Easter has already come. All we're going to do next week is celebrate it on next Sunday. Amen. Listen. This is a crucial time to consider the public's call of Hosanna. Of course, Hosanna means Lord, save us. But today, people are calling out to the governments, they're calling out to the health community, and they're calling out to the public institutions to save now from the coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic, and its related threats. But the message to Israel is the same message that we need to hear today and now. And that is, it is only Christ, the King of Israel, that can save us. And not only that, but he saves us from our greatest threat. Not here to minimize the threat of the coronavirus or COVID-19, but our greatest threat is not a virus. Mm-mm. Our greatest threat is not an economic shutdown. Our greatest threat is not loneliness, but it's the forthcoming wrath of God. COVID-19 is a disease that can and actually has killed. As a matter of fact, I believe the statistics as of this morning, it has killed over 8,500 Americans at last count. And certainly our thoughts and our prayers and our condolences go out to all of those families and those loved ones. But my brothers and my sisters, as I will prepare to close, the disease of sin without the King of Israel is fatal for everybody. And that death is not just for this life, but that death is eternal. The only cure for this disease is to call on the name of our Lord Jesus the Christ. And in that, we are admitting that we, because of our sin and because of our rebellion against the Lord, we actually deserve death. But in grace and love, Jesus came to save us. This salvation, my brothers and my sisters, is to trust in Jesus. That's what faith is. This is what calling out Hosanna really is. That is what Palm Sunday is really all about. We understand the sensitivity of what we're going through, and again, we thank God for all of the efforts of our healthcare workers, for all of the efforts of our first responders. We're even grateful for what the government is trying to do. But I need somebody to understand that your answers are not going to come from the White House. Your answers are going to come from the God who sits high and looks low. I know things seem chaotic and a little confusing, but you need to know what the scriptures say. First of all, God is not the author of confusion. And you need to know that none of this has taken God by surprise. God actually is still in control. I'm reminded of the story of Job when the devil had a conversation with God. He had a conversation and he talked to God about Job, and he talked about the fact that the only reason Job was being faithful, the only reason why Job was worshiping him was because of all the stuff that he had. He said, God, if I took his stuff, he won't worship. He said, if I take all of his material things, he won't praise you. He asked, he said, let me take that away. He said, you got a protection around him. And the Lord said, you know what? I'll tell you what. You go ahead. You go ahead and you can touch his things. He even let the devil touch his family. But the one thing he could not touch was his soul. The coronavirus might be eating up our flesh. But if you're a child of God, you need to know that it is well with your soul. No, I'm not being fatalistic. I want to live. I'm asking God to keep a hedge of protection around me. But I need God to understand that not only can I praise you in the good days, but like David, I say, your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do I have some days that are harder than others? Absolutely, I do. Do you have some days that are harder than others? Absolutely, you do. But you need to know that there is a hedge of protection around you. There's a little prayer that I pray at night, and I've taught it to our church, and I want to teach it to you. And it's simply that when I go lay down at night, after I've said all of those things to the Lord, I'd simply say this even to myself. The Bible says that David had to encourage himself in the Lord. And I simply say, Lord, whether I wake up in time or eternity, I just know and I believe that everything is going to be all right. Now at this time, I want to extend an invitation. I do. Sometimes we say in the church that the doors of the church are open, but technically the doors of the church have not been closed just yet. And they won't be closed until Jesus returns, because he's coming back again. And he's coming back for his church. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So for those of you who don't know Jesus, I would love to introduce you to him, my Lord and my Savior. Many of your friends, many of your family members, their Lord and their Savior. He really does stand ready to receive, yes, even you, to forgive you of your sins, past, present, and even future, and to welcome, yes, you to his family and give you the gift of eternal life. If you're ready to come to Jesus, then I want you to begin to pray a prayer and say, Lord, I yield. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior. I confess that I cannot save myself, because if I could, then I wouldn't need you. So thank you, Lord, for going to the slave market of sin, even if it were just me. You tell him, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And the Bible says you shall be saved. But if you need to connect with somebody, I want to encourage you. Reach out to your local church right there in your community. A number of great houses right here in not only the city of Cincinnati, but for wherever it is that you may be right now. But maybe if you wish to give me a call or to give us a call, you're welcome to call 513-681-1011, and someone will connect with you. You need to know that Jesus loves you. So do we. But I want you also to know that you may call us if you simply desire prayer or need someone just to pray with you. You call that same number. Area code 513-681-1011. And if you have to, leave us a message. Someone will get back to you, and we will have someone to contact you and to covenant with you and even pray with you right over the phone. But not only that, just as important is our continued commitment to giving and sowing seeds, not just to this church, but to our ministry. I say to you, to the First Baptist Church, West College Hill family, that would be the paying of our tithes to all our friends, our loved ones, our relatives, our guests. That would be you prayerfully considering the giving of an offering. Please know that all of your support helps us, it helps you, and it helps others. Now, while admittedly we are still completing the steps to enable our online giving options, currently that does not stop you from being able to write a check, get a money order, or even go online to your banking institution and actually set it up to where you can actually have your bank or your institution send us a check, no different than you would your other creditors or whoever it is that you must pay your bills. Our church address is the First Baptist Church, West College Hill, 6210 Betts Avenue, B-E-T-T-S Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. You also, if you are in the area, you want to stop by, and of course, we don't want to encourage it if you are on the roads unnecessarily, but if you are in the area and you happen to want to stop by, you may also stop by the church at that same address. We have a secure lock box on the back of the church, same box that we get our mail and other secure deliveries, and you can put your offering right inside of there. If you have any questions about what I've said, you may either call our office again, it's 513-681-1011, or you may send us an email at info@firstbaptistchurch, all three words, firstbaptistchurchwch.org. That's info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org, or you may visit our website, www.firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Again, www.firstbaptistchurch, spell them all the way out, wch.org. Listen, at some point, people like to say, and this too shall pass. The problem is that when you talk about in between time and in the meantime, my pastor, the Reverend Dr. Cecil Farrell, he used to tell us, He said, listen, sometimes in the meantime can be a mean time. So I recognize and I'm sensitive to the fact that this is uncomfortable. This is not something that we want to do. But don't waste this opportunity. Don't waste this season. This is a time of solitude. This is a time to connect with the Lord. Even Jesus himself, you remember the Garden of Gethsemane before he got to the cross. He had the disciples who had come with him, and he said, I just need you all to pray for just a little while as I go a little further. And when he went back to check on them, they were asleep, and he told them to sleep on. But he went into that Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed. And he prayed that prayer, if it be possible, to the God who can do anything but fail, who can do the impossible. He said, let this bitter cup pass from me. But he got to that point of nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Just like you, I pray. I prayed about April the 6th, and when the governor extended it to April the 30th, I said, Lord, please, if it be possible, let this bitter cup pass from me, from us. But when they extended it and they might extend it again, I've got to live in that nevertheless. Not my will, but thine will be done. Of course, when Jesus prayed that prayer, he was on his way to the cross. And he knew what had to be done. And it was his will to do the will of his Father. Every day, that has to be your desire. That has to be your will. At the end of the day, you want to do the will of God. So continue to love on one another. Take some time to spend some family time together, time that we probably didn't have before because we were so busy. Take some time. Reach out to one another. Pick up the phone. Call one another. Connect with one another. I know people like to say the devil is a lie. Well, that's oxymoron. He's a lie, of course. But what makes him a lie is you need to say, devil, this is not going to be my state of being because you've been telling lies about me. You thought that just because you took some stuff away that I was going to stop giving God the glory and I was going to stop giving God the praise. That's when I say, use a lie because I'm not. And even now, I'm learning to praise my way through some things. May God bless you and may God keep you. It is our hope and it is our prayer. Now at this time, as we get ready to come together, let's all over the world, wherever you are, I want you to connect with somebody. I know they talk about social distancing and I know they talk about this idea of not being able to connect with our hands, but you are quarantined with your loved ones. So I want you to maybe right where you are, connect with them. But then let's just do this. We don't have to connect our hands. Let's connect heart to heart and breast to breast. Even as I get ready to pray, I want you to unblock some stuff in the arteries of your heart so the Spirit can flow even through you. Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God, it is to you, O Lord, that we come right now in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We come, dear God, thanking you, for this is the day that you have made. We are going to rejoice and be glad. Recognize that we are in the middle of a global pandemic. But, Father God, we know that you are a God who can do anything but fail. So right now, touch somebody's heart in their spirit who's feeling fear, who's worried, who's concerned, who's afraid. Help them know that even now that you are with them, that you don't always come with a loud, boisterous boom or an earthquake. Every now and then, it's that still, quiet voice. Now that it seems that you shut off and shut down some of the noise of our lives, we don't have anything but time. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you yet shall do in, with, and through our lives. Lord, we pray a special prayer right now for all of the healthcare workers. I know they need gloves and masks and all of the protective gear, but we need you to put a hedge of protection around them right now in the name of Jesus. For Lord, they're on the front lines. They've taken an oath to take care of the sick, even at the peril of becoming sick themselves. Some have actually sick, become sick, and even succumb to the sickness. For all of those who have died as a result of the virus, I hope and pray that they knew you as their Lord and Savior. While there was breath in their body and the blood was still running warm in their veins. Pray for our government. We pray for the president. Praying, good dear God, that while we want to rely on some of the science, Father God, we need somebody to turn their face to the wall and get a prayer through and ask, what is the Lord having us to do today? Because even when this thing is broken, we don't want to give science the glory. We want to give you the glory. Lord, forgive us for our sins, our weaknesses, and our shortcomings. And we thank you for this Palm Sunday. Now, as we journey through what will be called Passion Week, eventually ending up at Good Friday, the Friday of the crucifixion, ultimately ending up to Easter or Resurrection Sunday when you got up with all power in your hand every day. As we continue in this Lenten season, journeying with you to Calvary every day, remind us of your goodness, your kindness, your grace, your mercy. And Lord, show us your glory. This is our prayer, and it is truly in Jesus' name. For Christ's sake that we pray, let every heart say amen. Again, God bless you, and may God keep you. Thank you so much for you allowing us into your homes or wherever it might be that you're listening to this broadcast right now. We know that there are many options, and we're grateful for all of those who are desiring to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to each and every one of you. So we don't take it for granted that you took some time to listen to us to hear what thus saith the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. As the musicians take us out, come on, somebody give God a hand clap of praise right now. Now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit may it rest, rule, and abide now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.